Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Ken from PGC. For those who don't know me, I'm the discipleship pastor in PGC. Since I'm more involved in the Cantonese congregation, I did not preach sermon as much in the English congregation. But discipleship is for all Christians, so I will share with you about discipleship and the strategy of discipleship training in PGC. So today I'm going to talk about the concept of discipleship. And about a month later, I'm going to talk about the PGC strategy on the discipleship training. So when we talk about discipleship, most people will think of the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, told us to go and make disciples of all nations. But many people, we don't understand what a disciple is. So as a result, many Christians, we do not grow spiritually. We become weak and we are unable to bear witness for Christ. Furthermore, there are different titles in the church that got us very confused. Do you know the difference of the terms like believer, layperson, disciple, Christian, saint, and apostle? So first, let us clarify these terms for you. First of all, believer. A believer is a person who believes in Christ. And this term only appears 5 times in the New Testament Bible. But actually, it does not describe what those these peoples are. And believer is just a general term for the disciples to describe people who believe. And note that Jesus never mentioned about the word believer. Secondly, a lay person. And this title is not from the Bible, but is a common term used in the church, is used to distinguish between the vast majority of believers versus the clergy and the pastors. And generally, this title is derogatory in meaning, which has a disrespectful attitude, as it means ordinary Christian. So not superior Christian, just ordinary. Thirdly, disciple. This word appears most 261 times in the New Testament manuscript. It refers to those who follow Jesus, obey, and live according to Jesus' teaching. Disciples are willing to accept the discipline and training by Jesus as their master. But this term can also be used in the secular world. So for example, in ancient China, Confucius had 3,000 disciples who not only believe in his vision, but also believe according to his teachings. And then Christian, what does that mean? This term only appears 3 times in the Bible. It actually means a little Christ. So when the people saw the disciples, how they act and live like Jesus, they call them little Christ. And in Acts 11:26, it said the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And then saint. And this term occurs 63 times in the New Testament. It refers to people who are redeemed by God and consecrated to God. And all those who believe in Christ, we are all saints. Even for those Christians in the problematic Corinthian church, Paul also called them saint. Not that only people who are holy can be called saint. Last but not least, apostles. This word appears 79 times in the New Testament manuscript. It referred to people who are sent by the Lord. So for example, when Jesus chose the 12 disciples and sent them out for a mission, they were called the 12 apostles from then on. But Paul was also called the apostles to the Gentiles. Apostles could be a position, it could also be a spiritual gift. So to summarize, a disciple is the same as a Christian, is the same as a saint, is the same as a believer. However, disciple is not the same as an apostle. Because nowadays we no longer have the position of an apostle, but a disciple can have the spiritual gift of an apostle. There are many misunderstandings about disciples. I'm just going to explain a few here. First one, people think that we can just become a believer and not become a disciple when we believe in Christ. So disciple is a threshold that we can choose whether or not we want to upgrade to it or not. Because being a disciple, you need discipline, you need a lot of effort. So I just be comfortable to be a believer, but I'm not ready to be a disciple. And that's not the teaching in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that everyone, when we truly accept Christ as a personal Savior, we become disciple of God, of Jesus. Secondly, the misunderstanding is that the spiritual life of the disciples will naturally grow without intentional training. As there are many churches, even nowadays, we think that when somebody accepted Christ, they become a Christian, and as long as they stay in the church, they attend the worship, they attend cell group, they attend the Sunday school, they will naturally grow to become a disciple, and they will spiritually mature. And that's not true. Because in our experience, and also the experience of many churches, there are Christians, they accepted Christ for like tens of years, and they are still spiritually immature. And thirdly, the misunderstanding is that discipleship training is just about the teaching of knowledge. Many church, even nowadays, they just think that when we have Sunday school, when we teach the Christians all the Bible knowledge, they will become mature spiritually and become disciple. And that's not true too. In the Great Commission of Jesus, Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." As you can see here, Jesus said that you have to make disciples first, and then you baptize them, and then you teach them, and then teach them to obey. So discipleship training is not to train believers to become disciples, but rather to train disciples to grow toward Christ's likeness. There's a cartoon about the conversation between husband and a wife. So let's take a look at this cartoon. So the husband say to the wife, "I love to be a Lord Jesus disciple." Okay, and then the wife replied, "I love the sports too." And the husband said, "Well, I see you dress sporty, but I didn't see you play any sport." Well, you see the wife is dressing like very sporty. And the wife replied, "I love to sit and watch people play sport, just like you listen to the teaching about how to be a disciple without putting into practice." Well, obviously we know what the problem is. You can't just watch people play sport without doing it. It won't do you any good to your health. And similarly, you can't just talk about being a disciple without practicing. So why do we want to be a disciple? Or what we say is, why do you want to be a true disciple? There are a few points about this. First, it is a call of our Lord Jesus. In a Great Commission, I just read to you, Jesus said that, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And Jesus never mentioned about go make believers of all nations. He specifically said that go make disciples. And the cost of being a disciple, it need to be calculated before you become a disciple. In Luke 14, Jesus said that whoever does not carry the cross and follow him cannot be his disciples. He then told the parables of building a tower and also going to a battle. You need to calculate the cost before you commit to do it. So same is true for being a disciple of Jesus. You should know the cause before you commit to become a disciple of Christ. For those who respond to Christ's calling at that time, they knew the cause because they might have to lose their life in persecution if they follow Jesus. So brothers and sisters, were you determined to follow Jesus and learn to be like Christ when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? And secondly, why we want to be a true disciple is we will have an abundant life. In John 10:10, the Lord Jesus promised that those who follow him will have an abundant life. Here it said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So of course, the abundant life that Jesus said here is not measured by the wealth of the world, but it refers to the growth of our spiritual life. For example, a grateful heart, an intimate relationship with God, and eternal life. So these are characteristics of an abundant life in Christ. And such a life can only be obtained by being a true disciple of Jesus. Last but not least, we will have reward before the judgment seat of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 10, here it said, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So one day, every one of us, we shall give account of ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ. And each of us, each one of us, will receive what is due us for things done while we are still living in this life, whether it's good or bad. So brothers and sisters, do you expect that you will be rewarded or you will be reproached by God before the judgment seat of Christ? So how to be a disciple? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So obviously Jesus did not mean that you have to carry a wooden cross on your shoulder, or you wear a cross necklace on your neck. The cross here, it does not refer to our diseases, disaster, labor, and sorrow in our life. It actually refers to the cost that we pay in our life in following Jesus. And carrying one's own cross, meaning that we work hard to practice godliness and consecration, so that we can live out the light of Jesus every day and be a witness for him. So let us watch a short video clip. So be careful not to cut your cross short, meaning that don't be lazy and don't be a wishy-washy Christian, or else you'll be surprised one day. So how can we be a true disciple? I like the illustration described in the first book of Master Life, Discipleship Training Process. It lists six Christian disciplines as depicted by the disciples' cross. And the disciples' first commitment is to deny yourself. That does not mean that you reject your identity, but to renounce that self-centered life. It also begins with our heart, that we are willing to do it and not be forced to do it. And this heart, it represents your life. So Christ will fill your heart as you focus on Him. Christ will have priority in everything, and He will be living in you. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So to remain in Jesus, you need to practice your daily devotion and also feel the presence of God in your daily life. In addition to denying yourself, you have to bear the cross. In addition to denying yourself, you have to bear the cross. And the second Christian discipline of a disciple is to live in the Word. The way to have life in Christ is to have His Word in you. And God's Word is our spiritual food. And we cannot grow like Christ if we do not regularly partake the Word. So we can have the Word of God in many different ways. You could be by listening to someone preaching, by reading it, by studying it, by memorizing, by meditating on it, and by applying it. So making Christ Lord means that we will study, we will meditate on, and we will apply the Word of God regularly. So other than reading the Bible ourselves, I encourage you to attend the Sunday school as well as the workshop that are organized by the church. The third spiritual discipline is to pray in faith. And some people say that prayer is the breath of our spiritual life. So it's very important, or else you may die. In John 15:7, Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Well, obviously, you don't ask God to help you to win the lottery or just have good result in your exam without studying, because it's against the teaching of God. And notice the vertical bar here of the cross. It represents the word and the prayer, and that highlight your relationship with God. That's the basic way of how we communicate with God, as well as how God communicate with us. So we must pray often, and we must also participate in group and church prayer meetings. The fourth discipline is fellowship with believers. Life in Christ means that you live in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. And Jesus said the way you show that you are His disciple is to love one another. And God provided an ideal place for us to grow spiritually, and that is our church. A church is not a building or an organization, but is the body of Christ. And there are many different parts in the body of Christ, and we are all connected in one body. And the body part will die if it leaves the body, so it's very important that we all are connected to church and also have a church life. So I encourage every one of you that you should belong to a cell group and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. The fifth spiritual discipline of a disciple is witness to the world. Life in Christ includes witnessing to others. And witnessing is sharing with others about Christ and also your relationship with Christ. If you abide in Christ, you eventually will bear fruit. And this fruit could be the fruit of the Spirit, or it could be producing another new Christian. And Jesus said the way to show that you are his disciple is to bear much fruit. If you're spending time with the Master, living daily in the Word, praying in faith, and fellowshipping with God's people, you will share with others the Christ who live inside your heart. So brothers and sisters, do share your testimony and also the gospel with your friends and your relatives. Last but not least, the sixth discipline of a disciple is to minister to others. As the fruit of the Spirit grow inside you, and you will naturally reach out to other people ministry. In John 15:13, here it said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." So I don't think you need to die for other people, but serving others is actually another commitment of a disciple. The arrows here indicate our growth in Christ should express itself in ministries. Living in the Word lead to a ministry of teaching and preaching. Praying in faith leads to a ministry of worship and intercession. Fellowshipping with believers leads to a ministry of nurture to other believers. Witnessing to the world leads to a ministry of evangelism. And our witness and our fellowship will lead to a ministry of service to other people. So we need to grow in all these six spiritual disciplines and ministries to master life. You need to grow in all these spiritual disciplines and ministries in order to master your life and also be prepared for the use by the Master. If you develop all these disciplines, your life will be balanced and you'll be fruitful. I would like to share with you a story about the growth of a disciple whom I have a close relationship with. It's a story about Reverend Danny Chung, who is now the Cantonese pastor in our mother church, Grace Chinese Gospel Church, abbreviated GCGC. In May 1990, the downtown Chinese Gospel Church planted GCGC in North York, Toronto. And my wife and I were also involved in this church planting. Danny attended GCGC meetings in 1992, when we were still meeting at St. John Fisher School at Finch and Pharmacy. Not long after he came to GCGC, he decided to believe in Christ and also got baptized in 1993. So at that time, the church started a Green is Born of Brew discipleship training program. So what is Green is Born of Brew? Well, that's a Chinese saying that the student is better than the teacher. So basically, it's a program to help brothers and sisters to become disciples of the Lord. And hopefully, they will be better than the teacher. And we are looking for fat people to receive the training. Well, it doesn't mean that it's physically fat or big in size, but it's spiritually fat, F-A-T. So what does F-A-T stand for? F stands for faithful. A is available, and T is teachable. Well, Danny obviously is not physically fat, but he was spiritually fat, and he met all the qualification. So later, I became Danny's mentor in discipleship, and we started a so-called Paul and Timothy relationship. So being his Paul, not only I care about his spiritual life, I also care about his daily life, his career, as well as his family. Well, actually, Danny is a few years older than me. When my elder son was born, Danny was still single. So at that time, my wife and I, we want to match him with some sisters in the church. But Danny himself, he was not worried at all. He trusts that God will provide. Well, God's will is higher than our view. In August 1996, God called Danny to pursue theological studies in the Christian Witness Theological Seminary in San Jose, USA. After he graduated in 1999, he married Sao Wan, and they went to South America as missionary together. In 2003, they have a son named Joel. And I thank God for blessing Danny's ministry, marriage, as well as his family. In the past 20 years, we have contacted Danny every time that he went back to Toronto. And through the missionary work in South Africa, God has taught Danny how to rely on him and become more mature. 4 years ago, God led Danny to return to Toronto from South Africa, and he served in GCGC as a Cantonese pastor. And at the same time, I also became the full-time pastor in PGC. So it is really a guidance of God that we're kind of serving with God in the same building. Because of his wife's illness, Danny's family went to Switzerland, the hometown of Sawan, for treatment. And Sawan returned to the Lord in 2019, and Danny came back to Toronto to serve in GCGC again. Due to the discipleship training, Danny and I have developed a deep friendship in the Lord for the last 30 years. Danny is definitely better than I. And I also thank God for allowing me to walk with him in his journey of spiritual growth. So brothers and sisters, discipleship training is not a program or a course. It is life influencing life. It is a relationship with God and with other brothers and sisters. Well, next time I will share the strategy of discipleship training in PGC with you and pray that we would dedicate ourselves to be a disciple of Jesus from our heart. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving us through the salvation of Jesus. You don't call us to be believers in knowledge only, but to be disciples of Jesus and follow him in obedience. Pray that we will practice the spiritual disciplines of a disciple and be a witness for you, and glorify you in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you all.